discussion about that yesterday.
And I would like to call the February 8th, 2011 meeting of the Taney County Commission to order. First order of business is homelessness prevention and rapid rehousing report. And Nikki, you're going to make that report?
That's correct. I have a monthly report that needs to be approved by you gentlemen. It's due in Jefferson City by the 10th of each month.
And this is the regular monthly report.
I mean,
it's not quarterly or
no.
Ron, and I've looked the report over, and I have a question on one line item. If it's at one line, if it's can have a transferable portion of that from another line, I don't know. Their total is okay, but that one line is in the negative by more than what we have seen before, and I would like to call and before we approve this and find out what the problem is there, or if it can be transferred. If it can be transferred from another line, I'm fine with it, but I would like to have a call from.
And when you say transferred by the line, you mean be over in another line area?
Yes.
And under
yes.
There?
Right.
Nikki, would you make a call to Mr. Catron? And question this line and ask if, in fact, we stay in compliance by being over in any individual line, or if, in fact, we just have to be under for the entire amount that was granted to us.
I will.
And I'll have you come back in between reports as we're moving through these different reports. Is that
yes,
all right?
Yes, I will. I will.
And as
thanks.
You do that, do the ask about both lines. There's just a $41 in
yes.
one line, but that's not significant. The other line is.
Okay. I'll do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are waiting for Jim to arrive, but would you all like to come up? Is it the three of you that are here for the next meeting? Or just you? Three of you? Come on up. Doing a favor for me and ask one of the girls how far out Jim is. I know he's supposed to be close. Oh, good job, James. Sir?
Sir. Excuse me for being late.
And if I could have one of you identify all three and the reasoning we were here, then we will begin. Just for the record as to who all's here.
Debbie Redford from Hollister Schools, Dr. Tim Taylor, superintendent of Hollister Schools, and Carlos Osborne, who is superintendent at Kirbyville School.
And who would like to begin?
I can't. A request, and I think it came from Danny through Debbie. I have put together a memo that you should have received yesterday.
And I didn't.
I got an email, yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
But I didn't get it through
okay.
my.
I have one extra copy.
That's what I was looking
for. Done that way.
That's what I was looking for as you said that. Was it, did it come through on our. Did you get it, Ron?
No.
Well, so, I can kind of.
But I will.
Yeah.
Okay. I can kind of summarize. In light of just some financial issues, I put together with Debbie's assistance a memo to the commissioners. One, there's five bullet points. One is just talking about the financial difficulties that really all schools in Missouri are facing, and it highlights some withholdings we have had and some budget issues just budget cuts and reductions that we're having to deal with. And the second bullet item hits on the, I forget the resort, but there was a resort in 2008 that was double taxed. And so this past year, that was corrected. And so we were anticipating getting about $47,000 more than we actually did receive. The third bullet is the airport situation, which everyone is very familiar with. The assessed valuation the initial assessed valuation that we received and what was used to calculate our budget was then reduced by the Board of Equalization, and that would cost us around $201,000. So we had basically $201,000 in our budget that we found out later, actually just a few weeks later, that we weren't going to get that. And then the next bulleted item was the issue just over the last few days where our railroad and utility payment was incorrect. And I believe, actually, Mr. Osborne is who identified that and alerted the county of that. My understanding is it was probably just a spreadsheet, and all the Taney County schools are listed, and there was just someone got off on the wrong line, and we were paid the railroad and utility tax that should have begun to Branson, which, for the record, we are absolutely okay with that. But we were asked to refund $75,000, which we have done.
Can I ask a question on that before we leave that bullet to an item? Had you already placed that in your budget for 11?
It was not anticipated. We anticipated, my numbers may be off a little bit, but we anticipated receiving about $165,000. And what we actually got was $235,000. So that was not money that we were counting on. It was a surprise that we got it, and it was a pleasant surprise. So refunding it really wasn't a big issue because we weren't counting on getting it.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't a financial burden for us.
Right. The reason I asked that question is juggling as many times as you're juggling here to make this work, I just wondered if that was a problem.
It really wasn't.
Okay.
Because we weren't anticipating the money.
All right.
There was only a week's period of time between when the check was received. But I think part of our concern is the fact that it was discovered by the schools, and we're not sure how long that would have gone on before. And, I mean, easily, certainly if Superintendent Osborne had not brought it to the county's attention, we don't know how long it would have gone on that the schools which had to give money back certainly could have ended up spending it and then found out after the fact that it had to be returned.
One thing that I didn't understand was when you said that probably just the shuffling of lines as far as Hollister, HK.
That's my assumption. Carlos here has a spreadsheet.
So the other schools that are, is there
they were
other affected schools?
There was three that had to refund, I believe, and then four who actually got additional revenue.
Okay. I guess my point being some that, let me say it like this, say Mark Twain. Some school that as we're talking about, were they notified quick enough that they could make an adjustment, as far as you know?
I don't think so. Just looking at the spreadsheet of the over and under payments of the railroad, the fund, the way it affected us, I had that week, I had my board meeting, so when we got the whole check, we deposited, and I just said, well, what's the amount? Because I wanted to know, you know, be able to kind of update the board where we're at with that, because that's our big check for us locally. So it appeared that we were, you know, we had received a little bit more. So I was pleasantly surprised, went in there. We've got X amount. This is good. We'll have the breakdown. And so when Ms. States, Ms. Ann States, who's been with our district for about 30 years now, started looking at this, we noticed for the Kirbyville School District, we were over in our debt service about $20,000. And in her history, she said, we've never gotten more than six. And I said, well, call over there immediately, find out, because I just talked to the board the other day. So she called over, and I think she talked with Ms. Wyatt at that point, who in turn, I think, talked with Ms. Neely. I'm not sure of the timing and the conversations, but those are what she told me who she had talked with. And basically, when they went back and looked at the spreadsheet, it was basically a line off. And we had that morning already deposited that check, so we couldn't just return it. So I was over here doing getting a sewer permit for the hookup now for our district. So I just stopped in, and that's when I met in Ms. Neely's office with her and Ms. Wyden. They basically said, yes, this is the amount you were overpaid, about $20,000. You'll need to repay that amount. And so later on, I was sent another spreadsheet of the state-assessed utilities, and it showed the breakdown of exactly where it was at. So it wasn't necessarily our Fund 1, but more of our Fund 3 that we were overpaid in that. So we've since paid that back as well. And on there, you'll see that, you know, there's other school districts that affects them differently. I think on Mark Twain, it doesn't appear that there was any difference for theirs, but, you know, some school districts like Branson and Forsyth are several 86,000 and $10,000, I think they're still due.
More significant to a smaller district. Yeah. We hadn't caught it yet, and my assumption is Branson probably wouldn't have caught it.
Yeah, I immediately, after I talked with Ms. States, I said, because I rely, being such a young superintendent, I immediately call Dr. Hyder, Dr. Blevins, Dr. Taylor. They're great resources for me. And I said, hey, have you taken a look at this? And they're saying, oh, no, but, you know, fax that over. And that's what started the dialogue after I contacted those three. And I knew I was going to be coming over here and visiting and finding out more information. So that's where we're at.
Basically, Ron and I had visited and decided that I better bring this at least to light so we would know if there was some smaller schools that were affected or somebody that didn't notice what was going on. And so if they had it in an expense account, and some schools may have been, I know that Hollister has been in a situation where, as you have highlighted, you've had several dollars that have been shuffled around. But a smaller school that was affected, this could be a big dollar amount to them. So I wanted to make sure that we understood what was going on, other than having the, I'm not going to use the word rumor, but the association and the county of not knowing the dollars being affected, to the effectiveness to the school.
You had said that, to the best of your knowledge, that there were three schools that had to refund and four that received checks greater than. Yeah. So that's all the districts in the county? So not all the districts were affected?
Not to my knowledge, but I'm just speaking for Kirbyville and what affected us. I mean,
is this just on the distribution of railroad utility?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Galena was one of those affected, which I questioned at first. I said, why is Galena getting money from the county in terms of railroad? But a little tiny bit of Galena's school district being in Taney County, but their portion was very small. I think it was $500.
Yeah. They're, I think, up in the northwest corner of Taney County.
Right.
As well as
Spokane, I believe it is.
Spokane. Yes, Spokane.
This is what we received. All the history jurists here. This is the overage for the refund. And there are three that had the refund are highlighted.
I want to apologize for my interruption or presentation, because rather than go on any farther, I wanted to clear that particular thing
sure,
out.
Sure, sure.
To go ahead, I mean, go
I didn't want to. I did want to stop at that point.
I wasn't sure what all to include. School funding, as you guys know, I mean, it's just the economic state that we all live in is just really tough right now.
Well, if you all don't mind, I'd like to address each one of these. This is one of three that scenarios that you presented. And this is unfortunate, and I will ask the officers that do the railroad utilities, and I'll find out if it was truly just an extension incorrectly drawn out by line or if there's something within the program. I'm familiar with railroad and utilities. I used to do that book by hand before we had computers that provided that information for us. But I will go back and find that information for you. And I apologize, obviously, that a mistake was made, that you all had to refund dollars that were sent to you.
Well, I don't want you to feel that I am coming complaining. I mean, this is just factual information that I was asked to come. I mean, I'm not lodging a complaint. I don't want you to take it that way.
No, we need to. We need to know. And we want everything to run as smoothly and as effectively and as efficiently as it can here in the courthouse system. So we will look into that. I want to ask you the question about the airport initial valuation, because when you lose $200,000 out of a year's budget, that's a horrific slam. Was that done early in the year? Was it done late in the year? Do you remember when? Pardon?
BOE.
Well, but BOE
August.
Last year was all year.
Well, the summer BOE session specifically was in late July when the decision
was made. Okay.
Last few days of July.
Okay.
It's totally out of our hands. State statute dictates that we have to approve our budget by July 1st.
Right.
And BOE isn't finalized till July 1st. And that's just what we have to do. And so, unfortunately, we approved our budget based on, I think it was $177 million assessed valuation. And then after BOE, it dropped to $172. And that's approximately $200,000 that we lost. We cut about $100,000 in programs and staff that were easy to cut, trying not to affect academics as much as possible. And then the other $110,000 we just ate in our budget balance. I mean, it's unfortunate.
One of the priorities, at least one of my personal priorities that I've shared with these two gentlemen that are sitting here, is that we collaborate with the other officers of the courthouse to communicate better about what we're doing and how we facilitate the delivery of county services throughout the county. And obviously, assessments and equalization of property are one of the biggest things, at least as far as I'm concerned, that a BOE can have an impact upon, or the county commission, which is the majority of the BOE. Right now, that's a five-person board that is comprised majorly of county commission members. And I truly believe that there's going to be a much different tact taken by BOE from this point forward. As a matter of fact, we have BOE discussions scheduled for today just to talk about how, not to make decisions, but to talk about how we may move forward as a Board of Equalization in the future, what we will consider doing and what we won't consider doing, and hopefully to establish some consistency that are going to be in your best interest and our best interest. Aside from that, I can't address those issues that fell last year. But
the airport issue, even though we took action, it was a majority, it wasn't unanimous, they still are appealing even what little value was put on their property based off this. They believe in interpretation of state statute, so there could be still yet another adjustment of what little bit what's left on there. They still say that they don't owe any, it should be tax exempt. So,
is that appeal something that's going through the courts, or is coming back to tax local bill? It's that taxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that one is how it's been. It's a timing issue. In late July, the decision will be made, and your budget has to be done before that. So.
Yeah. And it's just unfortunate. I mean, I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. Right. It's just too bad that the timing is the way it is.
I think what's important, though, that we could all learn from that lesson is one thing that came out very clearly with the BOE was that no one on who was on the commission at the time that looked at the airport and made the decision even questioned what will this do to schools, that apparently no one thought about what impact it might have on the schools in regards to that structure. And if we could all learn from that so that decisions from now on ask that question, not just in terms of the immediate impact, but down the road, 5 and 10 years.
Are you talking about during the BOE process?
Construction of
the construction project, of the project projects. Itself.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Because those questions were asked during our BOE. Every year it's brought up, and I think that this is a good situation that you appear before us, as do other school districts. We are here to, as a BOE member, we sit on the BOE, and we're not in session at the time, but we are members, so I have a little bit of difficulty here speaking on this, but we have to consider the taxpayer situation and the appropriate taxes to the priority evaluation. You are all affected, and when we have a major decision that is made that affects every school district, one motion in 2009 affected you tremendously. And so I think it's very positive that when we have BOE, that if you see something come forward that's affecting you, that you make your presence known because sometimes the monthly meeting process that goes through that is hectic, and the number of people coming in and the number of complaints that aren't even complaints that just come in to figure out where they're at. And so I think it's important that you come in or make your presence known, or if there's some big issue that you see and that you're affected by, that you have your voice.
I proposed last year during the campaign and hope that this will come to fruition, that this county commission will meet either monthly or every other month with leaders of the different political subdivisions within the county. So members from the schools, from the cities, from ambulance, from health, from fire, water districts, that we can all sit down and begin a dialogue and find out a little bit about how each political subdivision operates and get to the point. I didn't come up with this by myself. Jasper County did this years ago. And all the political subdivisions would have a monthly meeting. And after they got to know one another and began to talk about their political subdivisions, they began to prioritize what issues were that were important, and then they moved together as a group to see if they could accomplish those things by uniting. And I just really feel that would be important if we were to do that. Not everybody can attend every meeting that you have, but we can have a great consensus of the individuals that are involved to talk about common problems that we have, to find out, you know, if somebody has to run a tax levy increase, that there aren't five that are run at the same election process because none of them are going to pass. But what, in fact, if all of us could get together and determine what we agree is a priority in any given area, I think it would really be helpful. And it would help us to understand what problems you all face that we may, in fact, create for you. So it helps us it enables us to do a better job, and vice versa. You may see something that you do that would impact the county, and I just think it would be a great idea, and hopefully when we get past the first couple of months, we can begin some dialogue about doing that.
I'm working on a comprehensive PowerPoint presentation for our board on school finance, and I don't know how much interest that the commission would have in that, in just how schools are funded and just the difficulties that we're facing. But kind of piggybacking off of your thoughts, I think it'd be a great idea.
I'd be scared to death right now with what's going on in the state, because schools obviously are one of the biggest things that are impacted with.
You know, for us, we are, and I can place Kirbyville there also, because our local funding is a higher percentage than our state. I won't say that the state withholdings doesn't impact us, but it does. It does. My fear is reassessment. If reassessment drops, because we're 63% locally funded, Branson's above 70, that's huge. I mean, that's really big. That's my fear right now. It's not the state. It's the local reassessment dropping.
I think even with the state funding last year, it was towards the end before school districts in the state really knew what to expect going into this year. And I know I'm very blessed to be at Kirbyville with such support. The community there really supports that little school, and I believe we have a great education there. But my first year learned that, and Dr. Taylor knows this, I sat in on the board meeting that night where you had to explain to the board about the airport, and I couldn't imagine, because we had to set statutorily, you have to do all the teacher hires in the spring. You have to have the contracts out to them. You have to have them. So the only option after that would be, if you had to, I was thinking that night, would be to RIF teachers right at the beginning of school. I can't imagine that. And so I think the dialogue that we can all have together definitely will benefit not only the school districts but the entire county, to let them know what's going on, what to expect. I believe, starting out as a new superintendent, communication, communication, communication. And I've tried to get more involved in the county myself to help out. And it's just a great partnership, so I echo that.
School districts may have to make really difficult personnel decisions in county budgets. And I think the more people who understand the financial pressure that we're seeing, just the greater acceptance, because the community as a whole will just understand what we're facing.
Did I understand you say earlier that the levy is set, or the budget's made on July 1? I had thought for some reason it was September.
The levies. The timing of it is really a burden.
Yeah.
Teachers have to be notified if we're going to rehire them by April
15th. Yeah.
Our budget has to be set by July 1st. We set our levy then later than that. And so it's the structure of it is, it just really complicates the process.
And that's all set the state statute.
Yes,
exactly.
So what we're saying is, as a unified group, we should be talking to the state legislators to get some sort of sanity about the way, I hate to use that term, but that's about the way, exactly what you're talking about, sanity towards the timing of these events taking place. Now, everything goes great when everybody's making money and the schools are flush and the county's flush, but whenever things turn to the downhill side, then we see all these problems and should be took to our state legislative body, and we have a fortunate situation that we have, as all elected officials, have meetings with those people and have this brought up and see if we can't do some adjustments, some things that doesn't affect you as you set your budget in the 1st of July, and then the VOE decision is what's greatly affected, which makes you set your levy, and it's, I thought that's in September, isn't it, or later.
Yeah.
But September level, then all these things, the timing is so off-kilter that there needs to be some adjustment made.
But you're right. It hasn't been a problem in the past because economics are great. But the last couple of years, it's been an issue.
Mm-hmm. because you have to have your tax rate hearing in August. You have to hold that in August prior to that being set. So it's definitely important.
Jim, do you have anything else?
I'm just taking notes right here. The biggest thing I think
communication, I mean, obviously, we knew, we had been contacted by the airport sometime in June saying that they didn't agree. I think the assessor was contacted, the commission was contacted, not knowing exactly if they hadn't filed any paperwork on the BOE, but they had indicated that they were not satisfied with the valuation. So we probably should have communicated that better to you guys to say, hey, there's something, I don't know if that would have changed the way you budgeted or not, but we were we had some conversations in June before the BOE saying, and before they had actually applied or for the application process, that they were not satisfied. And once again, over-communicating wouldn't have been a painful process. It would have helped you at least been aware of what was going to be, what was working on it. So, but once again, the communication, I think Dr. Hyder comes over here once every 90 days and speaks to the commission, just kind of gives a status. I'd make that available to you guys on a Monday morning. Dr. Hyder came in, I think, in December. That's when the last time you were here, wasn't it, Danny? And just kind of give us the state of the business. But, you know, like Ron was saying, a lot of times just forcing us to hear what's going on. Sometimes we all get busy in our own little worlds here. And but having some sort of communication will spark some more dialogue that we really need.
Sure.
So, that would be a great thing.
So. Mr. Combs from Bradleyville's voice depended. Said that he would like for the county commission to visit their school and to see different things. And I think that's what's going to come down to with Financial Times the way they are is basically seeing what your problems are and trying to be a cooperative help to the school district and every taxing entity that's hit by economic hard times.
Local assessment is such a touchy situation. I would love for our assessed valuation to skyrocket, but I don't want anyone to have to pay more taxes. And that's touchy. You can't have both.
No. Well, you can if it's new growth.
Well, yeah.
If we're growing, then that's a good thing. But,
it hasn't been the case last year. Well, if you guys ever have questions about us or need information or whatever, I'd be happy to come over.
There's a bunch of, they're giving me my training. So as soon as they're done whipping me into shape, I'd love to put a message out to all political subdivisions and see if we can't put a meeting process in order or make the decisions when we all get together, which would involve some of our elected officials and individuals of your choosing.
That'd be great.
As I said, cities and fire. And all too often there's too many overlapping boundaries, responsibilities out there, or there are things that we do that touch one another adversely, and be helpful to know what those are. I very much appreciate gentlemen coming today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes.
Good seeing you again.
Thank you.
And do you have this again now?
Yes.
Oh.
He's my right, so he's not there anymore.
And are you going to be by yourself? Or do you have other
Actually, I figured you would ask me some questions I couldn't answer. I was just going to explain to you why I keep bringing this issue to your attention and then let the people who could answer them come.
Would you like to have them come up?
Yeah.
I can bring more chairs down.
Yeah.
Three?
Three?
Yeah, got this one here.
That's all we need. Just share the microphones. Just make sure we get it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Go on.
You won't care what email.
Look around the ones.
I'm Ben Trout.
Danny Strahan. Thank you, sir.
It's Bill.
Ben Trout.
Nice to see you, sir.
Fred.
Fred.
Nice to see you. I'm Ron.
Malico.
Fred.
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 Fred. For the record, if I could have you gentlemen speak into the microphone and let the audience that's listening out there know who you are, and then we'll begin.
My name is Ben Trout with EPM.
Fred Malico.
And Debbie Redford with Hollister Schools.
And Debbie, would you like to start us?
Yes. I always like to start out by saying I push things because it's the right thing to do, but a lot of times that's not the first thing people want to hear. So the reason I've been pushing this is because this idea, whoever carries it out, is going to save the county lots and lots of money. And so for that reason, it's the right thing to do, but also because it will save you so much in terms of energy. I'm not pushing any particular company. Certainly Ben doesn't have me on his payroll in any way, shape, or form. But a couple of years ago, Hollister Elementary went to a computerized temperature control system. And as a result of that, I think the projections were that we would save 24% annually in our utility bills. And as a result, what we found is we are actually saving 28%. What that translates to is tens of thousands of dollars and probably the equivalent of one or two teacher salaries per year just at that building alone. So what that demonstrated to us as a district was this makes sense. Even though it's a big investment up front, one thing that we know for sure they say is death and taxes, but another thing we know for sure is utility bills are not going to go down. The cost of our utilities is the utility company is never going to say we're going to cut your utilities by 50% this year. That's not going to happen. So projecting down the road, anything you can save today is going to save you even more money in the future. For that reason, I wanted to bring to your attention the idea of putting out an RFP for the county to at least lock in regards to, and Fred would have to explain this to you, but lock in the current prevailing wage. Because we were able to do that, there was a change in prevailing wage for Taney County, and because of the timing in which we were able to do ours, it ended up saving us $40,000 to $50,000 on our next project. So what we ended up doing, we have just finished installing as of December a computerized temperature control program for our junior high middle school building and for our high school. So we're anticipating from that about a 24% savings in utility bills. And again, you're talking instead of writing a utility bill or a check every month to the utility company, you're saving money that can pay teachers. And by the same token, the money that you save in the future in regards to your utilities at your facilities is going to save people's jobs. So given that, Fred Malicote is an independent engineer who can explain to you what the process and procedure is. Ben Trout owns EPM. I had worked with another engineering company and found out in my experience in working on the energy grant that we all did together that there are big differences in energy in computer control systems and the companies that you work with. So I can only tell you, not trying to get you to go with EPM, but I am trying to get you to think about moving forward with this process to lock in the prevailing wage and at least find out what your total cost would be for the county and what the ultimate payback would be.
When you say lock in the prevailing wage, is that something that's time sensitive because it's going to go up?
That's correct. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Fred could bring you up to date on this, but my understanding is the decrease in prevailing wage that went down with Taney County is probably going to be appealed, and you can anticipate it will go back to what it was.
So any project that's online or has begun prior to that?
It's my understanding is once you put out the RFP, is that correct, Fred?
Once you put out the bid.
The
package.
Bid, okay.
Okay. Not the RFP.
No, sorry. Bid package.
Okay.
That's why I brought them along. I didn't want to give you incorrect information.
As you talked about your schools, and I missed what schools they were, but they are fairly new buildings, I guess, aren't they?
Right. The elementary school is, what, 7, 8 years old?
Right.
2000? Okay. Time flies.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at there is they are
what we consider relative new buildings that have
right.
energy problems.
Right.
Would that be the right term to use?
Right.
Because it doesn't seem, it seems to be a fact that construction buildings and construction that has been done in the last 10 years, a lot of it has energy problems as far as heating and cooling and even lighting.
I was telling Dr. Taylor on the way over here, if you don't have someone during any construction project that is continually nagging you and bringing up the idea of energy efficiency and a green building, in general, architects don't go that direction. It's just not part of their mentality. And that the average person is not thinking in terms of that. So it's not a fault of any building project, but I can guarantee you that probably 90% of any building built within the last 10 years, probably a higher figure than that, you could make dramatic improvement in terms of the energy efficiency by just incorporating some fairly simple things. I think we figured our payback was 4.5 years on this project for the school. So at the end of 4.5 years, that huge utility bill, we'll be writing the check to ourselves.
That's fast, isn't it?
That's very fast.
Yeah. As the commission all knows, we have a definite energy problem with the new facility that we have down here. As we approached building the building, we were given a percentage cost of what utilities were going to be, which wasn't anywhere close to what the reality is. So that's the reason I brought that up, because you have new buildings that were affected the same way. So Taney County's judicial facility is not out of the realm. It's more part of what's went on with the building companies and firms. So that's the reason I brought that issue up.
Right. It's not unusual at all. Go ahead.
Okay. The first step you probably want to do is hire someone. You'd put out a request for qualifications for a design professional to draw up specifications for saving energy, in which case would be specifications for a computerized temperature control system for your building. And then that would go out for bids, and many firms such as EPM, Johnson, Honeywell, those types of firms that are in the control business would bid on the project, and then the design professional would help you evaluate the bids and choose someone to put in the system for your building. And typically after it's installed, they would do a final inspection and make sure that you got what you paid for.
I mean, I can tell you, I've met with EPM many times. And
we've done a lot of the analysis work, right, Ben? I mean, we've done, based off of analysis of the bills and all that, to see what our payback was, and it was pretty aggressive also, if I'm not mistaken. You remember the numbers? I have my packet upstairs.
The projection we did.
Rick's got a copy of it. There you go. I left my copy upstairs. So
you guys can read it much better than I can.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, when Debbie kind of highlighted the successes they were going to experience at Hollister, based off projections and what they had started rolling out, I had some conversations and had them do some analysis work, knowing that we still have to go through the RFP. We have to do the whole of the process, but if they wanted to kickstart the process and see what we're looking at, that's when we had some conversation last summer.
The projections we did were right at about 21-22%. But we do these based on worst case. And it's a little different how we do them and how the engineer does them. The engineer has to do them based upon what are called anticipated savings, what he thinks they will do. And that's normally part of the process, is whatever engineer you hire would look at the projection numbers, determine, number one, if they were reasonable and what the anticipated savings would be for his design.
Mm-hmm.
And
But this was based just on the judicial facility? Or
no, this is based on the complex.
Okay.
And the reason for the complex is that you're an all-electric facility. And whether it's here or in the old jail or the judicial system and new judicial center in the jail, being that you're using 1 million kilowatts of electricity demand. So if you took the Callaway nuclear plant, 1/1000th of that plant output would be taken to run your complex. And what's happening is that electricity is moving away from what's called the kilowatt hour charge like you pay at home, where you pay so many cents for every month for every kilowatt hour that runs through the meter like a water meter. And it's moving over to the demand charge. And the demand charge is how much you use at your peak 15-minute usage period. And that then sets your rate for the next 12 months, unless you set a higher demand, and then that sets the rate for the next 12 months. So the CTC system, computerized temperature control system, will control the demand of the facility as if it was one great big building instead of 1, 2, 3 individual buildings. And it can be aggregated together. We're the ones that have the aggregation patent that does that, which we would, of course, agree to license it to if somebody else was a successful bidder. But that's the important part of it. And the method in which you do the demand limiting so that you don't have comfort problems, they have the aggregated demand limiting in their facilities. And that was part of what specifications that he wrote required. As far as the new facilities, we have not put a CTC system in that there has not been another DDC system already installed that we replaced. So these savings are above and beyond what you're getting out of your current DDC or direct digital control system. A facility that's about half the size of your Justice Center is a brand new facility up in Randolph County. You'll remember that's where the two jailers were killed because they had an unsecured jail. They passed a bond issue and built a new jail. That jail was 5 years old when we replaced the DDC, direct digital control system, with the CTC system. You have the DDC system here. The savings actually obtained on the utility cost are 28%. Now, what we anticipated was about 23-24%. So it is not unreasonable to expect that kind of savings here. The difference, though, is you'll have a higher dollar savings than they will per square foot because your energy you're using is electricity. And the electricity that you're using costs considerably more than natural gas heat does, plus the reduction in the demand charges. So you'll probably have a payback somewhere in the range of about 4.5-5 years is what he would probably calculate here based on what was obtained with the same equipment and the same basic design jail and justice centers you have over there. The only reason why I would want to do the courthouse is because of the old courthouse and the jail is because of your common demand charge that you have that you're paying. And that has a savings of about 30%. These are the cheapest, that's the wrong way to say that. These are the lowest cost buildings to put the CTC system in, but they have a higher percentage return than you do over at the jail and the Justice Center. But the jail and the Justice Center is where your highest dollar savings are, if that makes sense. But altogether, you're looking right at about a 25 to 30% reduction in your utility cost.
Metered separately?
Yes. I think we are.
As we are metered separately, if the demand is what you're talking about is our cost factor, then would there be such a thing as experimental on that facility? Other than doing all three facilities, if that's a demand rate that is separate, ourselves with that building down there because we know it's the cost factor that's killing us right now.
You're saying do it in phases? Is that what?
Yeah.
I think if you look at it, I don't think it's we wouldn't maximize our return by doing it in phases, and that's part of the.
You mean the year?
And I'm going off of memory. I haven't looked at this since it's got to have been. I think we were supposed to meet in July, and we canceled that meeting. But somewhere in August, last time I looked at the numbers and things, and how the layout was. But
these are relatively small facilities here. To answer your first question, as far as this building and the old jail, as far as number of pieces of equipment. But to answer your question on demand, the CTC system would do the demand limiting on the buildings individually today because you are individually metered on the buildings. So we would do the demand limiting of this building, and then we'd do the demand limiting on the other building, and then the Justice Center building, and they would be treated as separate entities. But the trend, if you want to see how you're going to be billed for electricity, all you got to do is look at the East Coast or the West Coast, and that's what we're going to end up as. It just happens there first. You're going to have an opportunity somewhere down the road to aggregate this demand together. And when you aggregate it together, then you do the demand on the complete complex as if it was under 1 meter. And this is already built into the software of the CTC system so that when that happens to you, you just set a program, people say, you set a bid in the software, and now it sums the demand real time and does the demand limiting as if you had 1 meter. So it is adaptable to what's going to happen to the electric rates in the future. And it also allows what's called command-based demand limiting, where the utility company can come in at a peak and say, we want you to start limiting your demand now. And you have a contract with them, you say, okay, fine. We'll limit the demand this percentage. And you do that by simply sending a command either over the internet or over the utility wire. We're part of a program now with a smart grid where the smart grid is going to tell the systems when to do the demand limiting. And as a result, these people are going to get a little reduction in their average cost of electricity. And that's a program that we have just started implementing now. And it's done under a federal grant. So we're pretty much kind of in the cutting edge of this thing. And he is familiar with what could be done. And those would be part of the specs. Because you need to be very careful in that what you install today works tomorrow. Because it's very easy to install this kind of technology and not have the capability of having it take care of you when the tariff changes on your electric. And the tariff is how they bill you for the electricity. The rate is what they charge you when they bill you. So this program is a completely software-based program and is already set to be modified as the tariffs change 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now. That answers that question.
Pretty well.
As far as doing one or the other, to answer that question, that's a system that's going to take most of the work, the Justice Center. Once we get the crew here and once we start working, we calculated a discount in doing these buildings because these are the smaller buildings. You have the same startup and stopping certification cost in each building. So if we do this as a group and do the certification start and stop, you're buying these buildings at about 80% of what you normally would buy them at. And most of the manufacturers of the system will give you that kind of a discount on the surrounding smaller buildings. But if you want to do just that building, anybody will do that building for you.
I understand the discount deal on the 3, I mean, versus the 1. But I think it's quite evident that we're going to have to do something. To go back to what you said, it was my concern was I don't want to do something now that's outdated tomorrow or 3 to 5 years. About the time you think you're getting your return, it's outdated. So that's my main concern.
We have manufactured CTC systems now for 31 years. Our systems, we're not a vendor. Made right up in Fulton, Missouri. We service all the states surrounding Missouri. We do all the installations with our people. They're not, we're not going out and hiring a subcontractor to do it. We have systems we put in 31 years ago. One of them, for example, if you've ever been in Columbia to a football game, one of the places there we've got a system that was put in 1979 is a place called Harpo's Bar and Grill, of all places. That system has never been abandoned, and as we made improvements, they've gone into that system, and the software that's been installed in them is installed at no charge. So every system we have today that's out there running has the same software and the same capabilities as we do today. They're all hooked to the internet. It's not extremely expensive for us to do it, so we've just chosen to do that because it's a lot easier for us to do service if we get a call from a customer and we know that if you've got a boiler, for example, you've got a certain boiler program that everybody else has, and that's just installed automatically over the internet. So you can't outdate the system. And what we did, too, to help there was our biggest problem, our biggest single problem, is you have to have a front end of the system. That's how you get in and out of it. And the front end of our system was Microsoft. And about every 5 or 6 years, Microsoft came up with a new operating system that required more memory, required a faster computer, and our customers were paying as much as $6,000-$7,000 to having the new software and the new operating system that we had to write to go into this. So about 5 years ago, we said, that's it. We looked at our service cost and our required upgrades because of Microsoft, and we said, no longer. So we developed our own system, our own operating system, based on Linux, which is another operating system that's called shareware. All our systems are being converted to Linux now, and it just doesn't get updated. There's no profit incentive for a shareware system to change unless there's a need to change, and then it's done with a patch. So that's the only thing that outdates on the systems was Microsoft, and we got rid of Microsoft. The other components you have, you may have a board. You look at a board we made 31 years ago, and it may have 10 or 15 chips on that board. You look at that board today, and it may only have 4. But that board we make today will fit right in with that board we made 31 years ago. We have never abandoned an operating or board. We just make the new ones compatible with the old ones. And that's the reason why we've stayed a manufacturer, not a vendor, because that's the only way you can do that. You've got to make the systems. Does that address your concern, sir?
I'm better informed than I was, for sure.
I sometimes go too much detail.
No, that's fine. Did electrical work for 20 years, so I know the changes that have been made. So.
But that's what we've done. We've just made sure everything's backward compatible. You buy a system from us one time.
I thought Dennis Harper was the CTC at Harpo's.
Dennis Harper. He just sold Harpo's. I don't
did
know
he
if
really?
You know.
Yeah.
I never thought he would, and he did.
Two guys out of Kansas City bought it.
I retired from the Marine Corps, and I actually put that system in myself because that was the first system we manufactured.
I'll be darned. He started in a renting in an old Pizza Hut place, I think it was. They jumped his rate by about 4 times his rent. He's opened that building. And
did you take it out and trade? Man?
Done. Phenomenal. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe he sold that.
Well, Mr. Presiding, I guess that we would.
Well, what is. Well. You gentlemen heard me during the budgetary process, and there's 3 or 4 things that I would like to do, and certainly this is one of them. So if this is the right forum and format today to make a motion, am I right or wrong about, because the first step would be an RFQ.
I think that's probably the first step. Well, I know you have some other people that are already listening because they can talk.
I understand.
I mean, there's a there's a fair amount of research that individually you guys need to make a decision. I mean, you're going to hear the word performance contracting. That's not what this is. And you need to understand the differences between that and what we're here. And so, you know, I've already made, after doing a lot of research, I'm convinced not to go to performance contracting. So, that's what we have to make the decision and then write the RFP accordingly. And then that's really the next step, without a doubt, is to do something along this solution, similar to what Hollister did.
But we can make the decision to write the RFQ.
Yes, sir.
Today, if we decide, correct?
Correct.
Should we be posted for it, or are we posted?
Well,
for it?
We're.
I have to look at the agenda here.
We are just stated computerized temperature control is all that was on the computer today.
And I believe what we would need to repost. I'm not.
I think you need to give somebody direction to start with the diagram.
I'm just talking about the ability to move forward. We would have to set all the parameters, but with a consensus that we want to do that, then I don't mind reposting it for Monday.
That'd be fine. Yeah, yeah.
I think we should, after all that's going on.
And Monday, we will host a meeting wherein we will discuss the possibility of doing an RFQ. And then what steps will follow after that, we will probably outline on Monday as well. But that would be the first step. Yes, sir.
I sent Debbie, I believe, a RFQ example back a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm. And we so. We have others, too.
Quite okay.
Right. I forwarded right. that, and, but I will send. I can forward that again.
And did you share this document?
Couldn't hear, can't you? Can you move that microphone a little closer to you? Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you send this to me in an email? Then I should have that on an email.
Okay. You can have it if you want.
If you have no objection, and if Jim and Debbie have time later this week, could we convince you two to get together?
Sure.
And to chat about this, and then have would help us put some information together to discuss on Monday.
Sure.
Okay. I'm not claiming to be an expert on this.
No. Oh, you're it now, Debbie. That's how it works around here. You bring it up, it's yours. I found that out yesterday. I got assigned to a board.
Just the name Debbie rolls off my tongue. That's my wife's name, so yeah. You're in trouble.
Not a problem.
And gentlemen, if we have questions of you, if that's all right, we will call. But we'll initiate the process by stating that we're going to discuss the possibility of doing the RFQ on Monday.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your
time.
Thank you.
Thank
you. I got it. Oh.
Okay.
Thank you,
sir.
All right,
thank you.
See you soon. Oh,
the girls upstairs ask about commission because sometimes they're not sitting by.
Thanks, Dean.
I'm emailing as fast as we make a decision. That's fine. We used to have a forum, too, that we can act on. There's a couple things we can, yes.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
We're okay.
What's next?
We've got a BOE discussion, and I've got Donna's here and James is here. Rick, if you'd like to sit in. We'll take a 5-minute recess and then we will reconvene. Is that all right?